response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
High fly ball in the air, right center field. This one back, it's got a chance, and it's gone. PCA the second time tonight, and it's given the Cubs a 4-3 advantage, number 21.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We got baseball nuggets in just a second, but a couple of things to clean up real quick. The Angels' name was Clarence. And like 8 million people texted that in. And then another person said that I've now ruined that movie for you and you're not going to watch it. I'd say you shouldn't watch it. I've seen it. They got a special Academy Award for inventing how to do snow on film.
Oh, well, I mean, you did spoil it for me.
I didn't say what happens at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe all the townspeople beat him to death.
I've seen the end.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know how we got there, but now I know how we got there.
Bell rings and Angel
gets
its wings.
Oh, I thought that was Miracle on 34th Street. No, now you just ruined it for me.
That's for Clarence. Sorry. And then people told me to Google biblically accurate angels, and that's pretty much what I spent the entire break doing, and that is a lot of eyes. All right, right now it's time for some baseball nuggets. And let's start with the return of Murakami for the Chicago White Sox. Clearly, before he got hurt, what had been one of the standout stories of the first half of the season, he will come off the injured list and is scheduled to start today. So good news for the Chicago White Sox and maybe re-sparking his Rookie of the Year candidacy. Now, Jeff Passan put out a list team by team of, you know, some trade targets that they would look at, what their weaknesses are. And so for the Rangers, weakness, back of the rotation and catching. They said their best match would be Trevor Rogers. Trevor Rogers from the Baltimore Orioles has a 4.48 ERA thus far. So obviously that's a little bit tough, but getting a left-hander in there and somebody who has thrown 90 innings so far, I am underwhelmed by this prospect, especially since the Rangers seem to be hopeful that Jordan Montgomery should be ready on the other side, pretty quickly on the other side of the All-Star break, and then Cody Bradford might be trailing week and a half behind him.
Yeah, and once Jordan Montgomery is ready to go, just go ahead and mark us down for World Series dub. I mean, like, that's just how it happens. But
I hope you're right.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kevin, for the hope.
I really do.
I appreciate your hope for that.
I am a little worried.
All we need is him and Eovaldi.
Okay.
I've seen it before.
I mean, that exact formula, you're right, has proven to be very positive.
How much would people lose their minds if the Rangers decided to go get a pitcher at the trade deadline? I think Bobby Belt just might cuss on radio.
I think you're right. And I'm going to ratchet that up even more. Did you know right now, if you were just looking at the betting odds, the Texas Rangers are 7th to get Tarek Skubal right now? Now, I
would like to be first.
Don't think, well, the Milwaukee Brewers right now are first. Ahead of, of course.
Didn't they just make a trade for a pitcher?
Los Angeles Dodgers. But I don't see the Rangers making this move by any stretch of the imagination.
Me either.
But I think that would just set Bobby off. I think like every segment would be derailed into, well, maybe we should pitch, maybe we should go back and get all these other pitchers and stuff like that. But the Rangers are 10-1 to get Tarek Skubal, with the Brewers, Dodgers, and Yankees leading the way. And then there's a decent little drop off to everybody else.
I would love to. Hey, look, man, can you imagine having that trio? Move on from Mackenzie Gore and say we got Skubal and Kevin. I need down the road having Skubal here for the future to replace those two guys. After,
do you think we would pay to sign him?
We paid to sign Eovaldi and DeGrom.
That's true. That was a while ago now.
How much longer do we have those contracts?
I think DeGrom is 2 more years.
Okay, so two more years. If you sign him for a five-year deal, you have him 3 years after. I think both of those guys are completed with us. So it would be a smart move, in my opinion,
yeah,
to have one of the best pitchers in the game out there. And then you have, again, three of them. And if you get a chance, you do have the most dominant pitching staff. That being said, you have to score runs.
Right.
And you have to be dangerous against good pitching.
Okay.
And the Rangers need bats.
Well, then we will bounce back into Passan, who said their dream target would be Dalton Rushing. Dalton Rushing, the catcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm sure they have eight more ready to go who will be as awesome as Yadier Molina. This year, he's hitting .264 with 10 home runs, 30 RBIs, and an .839 OPS. He just turned 25 in February. This is something I would love as well, but this would cost you a great deal. And this is where I think the Rangers are a tough matchup for some of these deals, because what exactly are you trading them?
Prospects.
You just don't have that many of them, right?
And get more.
I mean,
Just throw them all into the mix. Like the deal is deplete the whole system. Walcott can't play right now, but would that be an option for you? Or are you already starting to think about Corey Seager down the road?
Would Walcott be in consideration? Because he should be ready to go back out there pretty soon for somebody who's not even into arbitration yet. Like, you have Rushing forever.
Yeah, here's what I don't know about that is it's the Dodgers. What do they need?
Yeah.
Do they need farm? Or do they need...
Not really.
Do they need starters? Like, I don't know what they need, dude. So that might be a completely different conversation if you're trying to make a trade with them. That would be... I would love to be able to pull that away from them. To add that to this, because I'd love to have a bat like that in this lineup.
Now let's talk about Pete Crow Armstrong. He loves the World Cup, I'm assuming, based on what he's been doing since the World Cup started. Since the World Cup started on June the 11th, Pete Crow Armstrong is hitting .406 with 10 home runs, 20 RBIs, and has 8 stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
That is freaking incredible. So I know Pete Crow Armstrong will be sad to see the World Cup come to an end, because he has been streaking ever since.
It doesn't have to, though. You know, it doesn't have to come to an end.
Okay.
There's English Premier League, and there's MLS.
Hey.
Whatever, FC Dallas.
I'm sure whatever gets him fired up, the Cubs would love. Now, we mentioned Scooble. People keep bringing up Mike Trout. There are multiple reports out there saying that it is unlikely that Mike Trout would be traded. The Angels said the Angels said they're not going to do it. From everything we understand, it doesn't really feel like Trout wants to be traded either. And then add some more lists to the home run.
So Trout doesn't want to go to a better team.
It is weird.
And his team that stinks does not want to do anything to get better.
So they say. I don't know if this could be a Giannis situation where he's like, hey, I don't want to look bad. The Home Run Derby has added some more folks. You got Jordan Walker in the mix. We already talked about Junior Caminero, Ben Rice, Wilson Contreras is on there. Jack Caglione is in the mix, as well as the Home Run Derby field keeps stacking some people in there.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
2-1. And Durant hits a high fly ball to left center. Trout back at the track at the wall. He leaps. That one's out of here. Ezekiel Durant, two-run home run. And the Rangers lead 4-1.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about being in first place at the All-Star break?
A six?
Because they're technically
because
not.
Because it's not there
yeah.
yet.
See, that's a Monday tease.
Yep.
That's a Monday tease. And you know what? In a related story, That will be the tease on Monday. Okay, that's what we're going to do.
Hey, that's a call. That sounds like you're putting in the call.
I'm putting in the call. Right, I am putting in the call. They are officially in first place.
And we are officially in Just Love Coffee in Grand Prix at 1020 Mayfield Road, Suite 600, as well as Alec Medford, who joins us from the KNC Masterpiece.
What's up, boys?
Meddy. Wearing the same brown hat. Did you wear the same brown hat the other day?
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good hat.
I rotate through the hats.
It's a solid hat. It's a solid, solid looking hat.
There's like 8 in the rotation right now.
Do you want to see what's really bad about my hats right now, Chop?
What's that?
So I have such a greasy ass forehead.
Oh.
Oh, yep. You're going to see. Look. I want you to look at this. Look at that. You see that?
Yeah.
That is, this hat's like a month old.
You know what you need, man. You need
one of those little guards, those sweat guards.
I have those sweat guards I put in. Yeah, you got to have the sweat guards.
I know. Yeah. Tolo Steve gave me some of those sweat guards, and I just haven't put them in yet.
Saves the hat. But a 7-6 win, it did not come without its own set of problems, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, and that problem is blown a 6-1 lead.
Yeah, 6-1 in the seventh, you think generally like, all right, we can shut it down. We can go home. No, not last night.
I think
night.
We literally would have shut it down if you were watching the game at
home. I thought they run ruled them.
Yeah, it was a game that you had Evaldi on the hill. He was cruising. He gets to the seventh, and then, you know, I really think the catcher's interference just kind of messed with his mentals. You get a catcher's interference, you get a guy on first base because he walks the next hitter, then a single, and then he's out of the game. And, you know, I think when you've been cruising along the way he had, you get something like that that's out of your control. I think it's human nature. You kind of lose focus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what happened. Good job by Skip. For recognizing that, having somebody ready to go, right to warm, you know, getting ready. A team should always have somebody warmed up in the seventh inning now. But they wind up blowing the lead at 6-6. Wyatt Langford comes back off the injured list.
Gets the walk-off single.
And he gets that. Tarps off, baby. Tarps off
tarps
again as a ballpark.
Off, spinning them everywhere. That's it. Dude, that is everywhere on social media right now. Like, people are sharing. They saw that. Did you see the Rangers, I think it was the Rangers stands, they were doing the tarps off thing the other day, and there was a giant Pablo Sanchez from Backyard Baseball that got in there. Did you see that?
No.
Do you know what Backyard Baseball is? You may have missed your generation.
No.
Anybody who knows Backyard
it's
Baseball.
It's a video game. Knows, I know that, right?
Yeah, Pablo Sanchez is like the LeBron of Backyard Baseball because everybody claims he's the GOAT and really he's the second best because the greatest of all time is Pete Wheeler. But Sanchez, the inflatable Pablo Sanchez, was like in the crowd with them,
that's
and so
cool.
It's becoming a rabid environment. And you know what? I think you can thank the soccer fans. The World Cup fans can be thanked for all of the intensity of like these kind of things. Because I saw them not only were they tarps off, they were also doing the Norway thing or whatever.
Oh yeah,
ooh,
the
row.
Yeah. I was on Tuesday when I was at the game. They did the tarps off, and I was like, me and my buddy were like, should we go up there? And I'm like, dude. It's all like
you cowardly said no.
I'm not going up there. It's like I can't take my shirt off around 12-year-olds that I don't know.
There's a more diverse crowd last night, though.
Yeah.
One of my best friends was out there, and he was giving us like live play-by-play, sending us video. He was like, I'm inching closer to the section and closer.
Yeah.
And he joined them, and it expanded to 2 sections at one point last night.
Yeah.
It was pretty majestic. And Captain, the mascot, joined them.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
He was out there coordinating chants and stuff. It was
awesome.
They
got to designate, just like they did for 133. You got to designate a tarps off section. It's got to be inclusive to women as well. Okay, I think.
Do you think they've been rejecting them?
I don't think they've been rejecting them. Okay, we need to be more encouraging. Now, come on, take your tarps off. Let's go. So the Rangers do get the 7-6 victory. And this is, and I saw this stat yesterday, and it is official. There is no other way to put it. No other way to put it. The Rangers are the most mediocre team in all of sports.
Oh, man.
Did you see this, Betty?
No.
Did you see this? Hear about this?
This year, going into last night's game, they're 46-46. They're 21-21 at home. They're 25-25 on the road. Since the start of last year, they're 127-127. Since July of 2024, they're 163-163.
Oh.
And since 2004, they're 1,777-1,777.
Ooh. That's pretty that's pretty
some Rangers
mediocre.
Nation Twitter account. I hope they're right.
I didn't vet it.
That's
very purgatory-esque.
Yeah.
You know what you didn't read in there?
Three World Series appearances
and a World Series
title.
So, you know what? I'll take that all day. Look, that is I remember I was watching, I can't remember what show this was, but I was watching a show where somebody said, it was like somebody was yelling at somebody, goes like, I hate you. And they're like, that's fine, just don't nothing me. They're like, that's what I can't have. Don't nothing me.
Right.
You want the extremes. You either want it to be a disaster or you want it to be the greatest thing you've ever seen. The worst thing is when it's like, which there's a little bit of to the team right now. But the question is, like, do you have the resources and are the pieces available out there to go from to, oh, this is pretty good.
That's the problem because this is a franchise that has pitching names, at least, that if you get to a postseason series, you'd be scared of. It hasn't always worked out that way, though. I mean, Jake DeGrom is not Jake DeGrom that he used to be. Mm-hmm. And Nathan Eovaldi, I mean, when he pitches against the Yankees, he is lights out.
Year.
But, I mean, there's a down year aspect to it. They should have made the playoffs last year. That would have been a much different story.
Which do you feel like was more wasted? The Rangers pitching staff last year or the Cowboys offense?
That's tough.
The Rangers pitching staff.
The Rangers, I mean, they were the number one, like, team ERA in baseball last year.
Yeah, I would say the pitching staff because I do believe that pitching in the postseason wins in baseball. And as much as I hate defense, I do think that that matters more in the postseason in the NFL than offense does.
And that's a good argument just because team ERA is something that I feel like I gloss over sometimes just because you do have two or three frontline starters
for most
of the year. And then you look at that effort last year and you say that was probably the best in franchise history, not just numerically, but watching the games. Mm-hmm. You're like, this is dominant. And we talked about it all the time last year. Jacob DeGrom, seven strong, gives up one run. And you still lost 2-1.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of games were what made you upset. The Cowboys offense, you kind of went into it knowing this is the star of the show. You're not going to win many games.
Right. Anyways. And I'm with you on that. And that's like, if you go and you look at, you could have a team that's got a great team ERA, but you don't have a frontline starter. You got just decent players.
Yeah.
When the playoffs, when you're facing, you know, Shohei, when you got to go up against the Dodgers, you got to go up against Aaron Judge or the old Astros lineup when they were banging trash cans. You need a dude. You need a couple dudes. And they had a couple dudes last year that could have gotten that done.
To that point, though, or the end of, like, what did you ask? Because you definitely, if you look at over the years, generally when you lead the major leagues in ERA, you don't finish with a record as bad as Texas did last year. But similarly, I remember somebody put the stat out, and I was just trying to find it. I couldn't find it right here. But it was essentially, if you take the five worst seasons in NFL history of, like, defensive DVOA, which is that per-play efficiency metric that shows how effective you are as a defense. If you take the five, the Cowboys were in that bottom five, and they went 7-10 last year. The other four teams in there, the most any of them had was 2 wins.
Wow.
So, I mean, you're talking about they won, like, as many – they won more games than, like, those other four teams on defensive DVOA record combined won.
Yeah.
So, which means that offense was doing things that kept you competitive that you should not have.
For sure. I just think we've seen elite offenses fail to win the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Right? I mean, like, all those Charger ones with Rivers had great offenses. All those Manning Colt teams.
Yeah, I mean, this great offense missed the playoffs.
Right.
Which is why I say, do you feel like you wasted it because the defense couldn't do anything to support it?
I mean, and those other teams I mentioned, they were all always usually playoff teams. Mm-hmm. A lot of those Breeze teams.
Yeah, the Breeze team. We had the number the other day that of the 5,000-yard passers, like half of the time that somebody's done that, they don't make the postseason.
Yeah, and Drew, like those 7-9 Drew Breeze teams were like elite offenses.
Yeah.
So we've seen it before, but pitching staff that dominant should have made the postseason.
Yeah, and you feel like, all right, now that the offense is not near the top, but they've rallied a little from last year, definitely rallied from earlier in the season, but you're not getting the same level of pitching.
Right.
You're getting a better bullpen than you thought you had at the beginning of the year, but you're not quite getting the starting pitching that you wanted.
Now, speaking of the offense rebounding, they did get Wyatt
Langford.
You said
that funny.
Rebounding.
It was just the emphasis on bounding.
Yeah.
It was elegant.
Keep going.
Thank you. Elegant, I like that. You know, we mentioned Wyatt Langford came back. Corey Seager, not. And they don't expect him back, anytime soon. You know, maybe when they come back off the All-Star break immediately.
Are you reporting a trade?
No.
No.
But Ken Rosenthal did write this on The Athletic yesterday.
Rosenthal is pretty solidly connected to Texas.
Right. And he's like, you know, he says, he starts off, obviously, and we talked about this yesterday, you know, Seager, you know, at the end of the year, he's a 10-5 guy. He could veto any trade, fold no trade clause.
Yep.
Right now, it's 8 clubs. And he says, even without the restrictions, and by the way, he said those eight clubs likely have no interest in acquiring him anyway.
Does he say who they are?
He does not say who they are.
Okay.
But he says he's only 32. He would be difficult to move. He's made six trips to the injured list in the past 2 years, twice this year for lower back issues. And he's also owed $31 million for the rest of this year and $155 million over the next couple, over the next five seasons. Mm. They would have to pay a chunk of that. So the issue is that you're going to have to trade him and either take nothing in return or pay $50 million to get something back.
Yeah, it's a little bit like...
it's a salary dump.
Like, think of where Scherzer was at a couple years ago when Texas traded for him.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of money. There was not many, that many years, but there was a lot of money on the deal. And, you know, in order for them to get a prospect, like, at the time, who was thought of well, in Luis Angel Acuña, they had to fork money over for Texas to take Scherzer.
Those deals, that's why whenever Bobby gets attacked by people on Twitter for saying he's wrong.
I was going to say, for what? I get attacked for everything.
That you can't get a value out of yes. Corey Seager and whatnot. It's true just because owners are cheap. That's what the whole collective bargaining agreement conversation is about right now, is ownership is cheap and they don't want to pay money. And you would essentially be pulling a Marcus Semien at that point where you're saying, we don't want him on this team anymore. Mm-hmm. We'd rather move on from the headache, which they tell us in broad daylight week in and week out that they just want to get Corey Seager right. There's nothing wrong with him in the locker room, in the clubhouse per se. So they're not eager to move off of him, which would mean that they're not going to take just somebody's 13th prospect for him. They're not going to take somebody's 20th prospect for him. They would have to eat some salary, which Ray Davis, what do we complain about? He's not spending money, so why would he pay somebody to not be here?
We need to get Tom Dundon here to do that.
They cut payroll by $37 million last year.
Whew.
That was the fifth largest percentage decrease in the sport. He also, Davis, is also on the Labor Policy Committee, so he may have intricate knowledge of the negotiations. I guess all the owners would have intricate knowledge of it anyway. But, you know, DeGrom and Eovaldi, he says, also could be part of trade discussions if they collapse, but they also both possess full no trade clauses, and DeGrom is not inclined to want to accept trade. He would not want to leave.
He seems happy here.
He does.
So that makes sense.
And, of course, even if Seager does get the 10-5, he could still be moved because Nimmo had 10-5, mm-hmm. and he agreed to a trade this year. So that's a little bit from Ken Rosenthal there on the trade front.
That is Diamond Cavs here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live from Just Love Coffee in Grand Prairie, 1020 Mayfield Road, Suite 600. Come on out. Come say hey. Come get a bag of the Ethiopian Yurga Chef Sean and RJ blend that supports the Sandlot Children's Charity. We got Alec Medford with us for a little bit until he goes off to the station for KNC Masterpiece. Jeremy Fowler List is out of the top 10 tight ends. We've also got the junk drawer and a special surprise for Alec when we come back here on 105 Through the Fan.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Let's catch up with Rangers reliever Peyton Gray for our Texas Rangers Player Show, brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. And joining us now after he made his Major League debut back in April. Peyton Gray, what a wild road it was to get into the big leagues. Coming up on the other side, we will get into more of a football conversation. We'll continue that talk. Of course, we'll talk with Jared Sandler coming up at 5 as we're live here at the Comerica Backyard, getting you set for Rangers and Angels with Jacob DeGrom getting the ball tonight. Joining us now is indeed Peyton Gray, Rangers reliever. Peyton, how are you? Thank you for giving us some time. What's your game day routine like? Are we interrupting anything right now?
No, you guys aren't interrupting anything. Thank you guys for having me. Just got to the stadium a couple hours ago, having some lunch, getting the body ready, ready to go tonight.
Well, heck yeah, man. I mean, look, your story, it's been well documented. I know you talked about it a bunch back in April during your debut, but if we could just go back to that, you getting the call, what all of that meant to you and how this season's really unfolded with you here as a Texas Ranger.
Yeah, I mean, just getting that call is an incredible feeling, and then just being able to be up here as long as I have and help the Rangers win games, it's truly been special.
You said you're having lunch right now. What's the ideal pregame meal?
Oh, today I just had some chicken and rice and some shrimp.
Ooh, okay. Well, is it boiled shrimp? Are we doing fried shrimp? What kind of shrimp?
Popcorn?
No, I think it was fried shrimp, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how they prepare it.
We're just eating it. You know, that it doesn't really matter how it's prepared. Food is food, and it's fuel. So when you look back at your journey to get here, if you have other – and we got the Major League Baseball draft. We're just talking with CY. That's coming up this weekend. For other young Major League player – oh, Major League hopefuls, I should say, that are listening right now, how would you – what advice would you give when you reflect back on how you were able to get to this point?
Most importantly, I think not every path to the major leagues is going to be the same. So I don't think you should look at others and model yourself after, well, they made it then, I should make it then, stuff like that. Because everyone has a different path, and everyone's going to have different speed bumps and stuff like that along that path. So I think just trust yourself and be confident and just do your thing.
Peyton, what was it? Was there something that you, when you were – you know, making your when you're getting ready for this opportunity, was there something about the major leagues you thought, man, this is, yeah, the major leagues, and then you got here and you went, man, I was totally wrong about that?
No, I mean, no, not at all. It's everything that you dream of and that we all dreamed of as little kids. It's all of that and much more.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you going from the minors and then coming up here to the big boys?
I could say, like, the stadiums and stuff like that. Obviously, you play in a much bigger stadium and bigger crowds and stuff like that. But I think just how everybody goes about their business at the major league level, it's truly professional. And, like, our ultimate goal is to win games every night. And it's cool to see how guys go about their everyday.
How crazy is it pitching on the road compared to a home game? Is that does it crank up the level of difficulty a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely some early on that were big crowds or like a big moment. Toronto had good crowds when we were there, so it was good for me to be able to come in there and like shut it down a little bit. So that's been cool to do. But yeah, there's been a lot of cool stadiums that we played at.
Hey, do you sit out in the bullpen now and kind of you've been here long enough that you kind of know as you're watching the game when it might be your situation? How do you take in a game like the first few innings? Do you just kind of sit there and then you start to think, okay, this game's kind of looking like maybe I need to make an appearance in this one? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, for sure. I think the coaches, they all meet before the game and they obviously have a game plan on how they want to go about it depending on score and stuff like that. And then sitting on the bullpen, our bullpen coach, he's pretty transparent, and he'll kind of give you the heads up of, like, this is where we're looking in the lineup that you match up the best against, stuff like that. So you can kind of follow the lineup, follow the game, and your spidey senses usually go off when you think it's your turn.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the I've always wanted to ask a pitcher about the pitch comm thing, and, you know, you probably grew up, you know, with the catcher giving you signs and all that. And how do you like the pitch comm? Is it, do you even know it's in your hat, or how's that working out for you?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've used it for a couple of years now. You don't notice it at all. I really do like it. I think it helps, the flow of the game and stuff like that. And, it eliminates some of the sign stealing, opportunities and stuff for pitchers. So, I think it helps me. So I like it.
Is that a number one concern? I know getting outs and locating pitches and stuff, but you just said, though, stealing signs. If you asked a pitcher, which I'm doing right now, is that your number one concern of you? I know you want to throw strikes and stuff, but is that a number one concern for a pitcher, is getting signs stolen?
I wouldn't say it's number one. I think everyone is aware. Teams are going to try to do everything they can to have an advantage against you. So I think it's something that we're all aware of in our deliveries and our mechanics, our windup, that we all try to do the exact same thing every pitch, no matter what pitch you're throwing.
Peyton Gray with us here in the G-Bag Nation Rangers reliever. So your pitch mix, how's that evolved? Well, have you found a pitch that maybe when you started your career, you liked throwing more, and then you were able to tweak another pitch, and now you're relying more on, say, the changeup versus the fastball, the slider? How's that grown for you?
Yeah, I obviously am a big changeup guy. I came up my first probably month, I was throwing a lot of them. I would say over this last month, I've incorporated my cutter and my fastball a little more. The usage has gone up a little bit. Scouting reports and stuff on you get out there, so you kind of have to flip the script every once in a while. But yeah, I would say I'm still a changeup heavy dominant pitcher.
Okay, so what's the information that you're getting on these hitters? I mean, you don't have to give away too much, right? We do have a game tonight. But is it like an overload of information? Have you been able to kind of, you know, iron down, okay, this is kind of what I need to focus on so you don't overwhelm yourself?
I think every pitcher is different, and everyone wants to be prepared in a different way. Things I look at would just be like swing percentages and stuff like that in certain counts, and like where you can throw the fastball against them and stuff like that. But they give us unlimited amount of data, and they can prepare us as much as you want to be prepared. But yeah, sometimes it can be overwhelming. I think just going out there and ultimately throwing your best stuff and attacking the strike zone is going to help.
Peyton, do you like pitching outdoors or indoor stadiums? I know you're going to probably say, it's okay both. I can kind of do both. But do you have a preference, indoor, outdoor, when you get to play or pitch?
I wouldn't say I have a preference. I do like pitching here in Globe Life. It's a very controlled feeling. The weather, you know what you're going to get every time.
Sure.
We just got back from Cleveland, and it was so hot, and it's like, In a really hot, humid game like that, sometimes it's hard to keep your hands dry, so then the ball might be slipping, stuff like that. So you could say I might prefer indoor.
Do you, I noticed, too, you wear long sleeves when you pitch. Is that all the time when you go out there? Is that something you've always done? I don't remember ever seeing you pitch in short sleeves.
Yeah, you haven't, and you won't.
Okay.
I only pitch in long sleeves. I only practice in long sleeves. I don't know. It's been one of those things, like a sun protection thing. I know some guys pitch in long sleeves to help, like, eliminate forearm movements if you're shifting grips. I know some guys do that. But, yeah, I've always just kind of done it because we're out in the sun so often. So it's just nice to protect yourself.
I got you. So, but it's for you, when it's like you're talking about pitching out in Cleveland in a hot, humid day, do you just have to remind yourself, like, okay, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm doing this for a reason. You know, or is it just so natural to you now that you're just going to be hot and with the long sleeves on?
Yeah, it's so natural. I don't even notice when I'm there. I mean,
yeah.
It feels odd to not have long sleeves on. I put my jersey on the other day without long sleeves, and I was like, oh, I don't like this.
Bad look.
So we saw the video of Skip telling the club that Jacob Latz had made the All-Star team. What was the reaction for you in the bullpen for him?
I mean, nobody more deserving. I mean, he's done so much for us this year, and he's a great dude, and he works hard. He's earned this, and we were so pumped for him. I mean, I think we were kind of talking about it before it got announced, just because we all kind of had a hunch. We were like, no way, he's not an All-Star, stuff like that. So we were all super excited for him, and he deserves it.
All right, who's the biggest ball buster in the pen, and why is it Tyler Alexander?
Surprisingly, it's not Tyler.
It's not Tyler.
He's fairly quiet. I would say Cal, but he hasn't been in the bullpen this past week. But, yeah, maybe Cole Wynn.
Okay. Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
You mentioned Cal. Is he big time in you guys now that he gets to start? Does he like feel like that, you know, like he gets to like cut in line at the, you know, to get the extra chicken and rice or whatever? What's going on there?
He's stealing all the shrimp?
Is he stealing all the shrimp off your plate? What's going on there?
No, I think he misses us. He knows we're a fun bunch out there.
Well, you're the man, dude. It's been awesome watching your journey so far. Keep crushing it. Give him hell out there. We'll be pulling for you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he goes. Peyton Gray of your Texas Rangers. What an amazing story. And, of course, your player show brought to you by Golden Schick and Globe Life for over 125 years. Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. All right, let's get into a little football fix, shall we? Sean Payton's wild idea. The league's top 10 corner list. Do the Cowboys have any top players in the top 25 under 25 list? That's next in the nation.
3-2, here it comes, a swing and a high fly ball to left field, deep enough to score a run. Josh Smith is back at the wall, up against the wall. He can't make the play. It's beyond his reach. Both runners score. Green turns second. He's heading for third, and he will stop there with a two-run triple. It is 6-1 Tigers in the fifth inning. Four RBIs today for Riley Green. He's a double shy of the cycle.
You're an idiot, and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about a first-time All-Star?
Nine.
Thank you.
Hard not to be romantic about Jacob Ladd.
Yeah, very, very hard. We'll get to that in a second. the Rangers do lose 2 of 3 over the weekend. They still won 7 of 10. We come in here looking, thinking the sky's falling because you dropped the final two after the win on Thursday. But at the end of the day, you've won 7 of 10. You put yourself in a position to where, you know, you could lose back-to-back games, still be 500, still have, you know, the playoffs in your sights.
Just frustrating when it's a bad team. And that, frustrating and that it when always it's a seems team. To be a bad team that handles you.
You're still one up on the final wild card spot. The problem is going into the 4th of July, you were 3 up on the final wild card spot. Now you're just 1 up over Houston. And that sucks. You know, Houston, I thought we were done with them.
Yep.
But they have not played terrible baseball over the last month. And here they are, find themselves a game out of the wild card. And Minnesota, to their credit, really, you know, I was not a thrill with their hire of their manager because... You know, I mean, a retread for Pittsburgh, I would have thought my guy Bandy would have gotten one.
Yeah.
I would have thought that he would have gotten an interview. So Minnesota's done a nice job as well. But, you know, to lose 2 of 3 to Detroit, a team going nowhere, the only place Detroit's going is the trade deadline. That's it. They got some good young players.
By the way, you mentioned Houston. 6 of their last 7 series, they've won, including they just took 2 out of 3 from Tampa Bay.
Wow. Tampa had won.
Tampa's one of the really good teams out there right now.
They had been hot. I mean, Tampa was like 10 days ago, like 3 back of the Yankees, another 4 up.
Yeah. Tampa's best record in the American League. They're behind Milwaukee and the Dodgers for best in the Major League Baseball. They are 31-12 at home.
But Detroit's got some nice young players. McGonigal's really good. Riley Green's a good player.
Casey Mize is a good player.
Yeah, they got some, you know, they've got some nice pieces that and they're not winning this year. And they're gonna wind up trading Scooble and they're gonna get a load for him. But this is gonna be a pretty decent roster, you know, coming up here. That they've got over the next couple of years. So the Rangers do drop 2 of 3 to the Tigers. And then, you know, they got the day off today, and then they got host Anaheim, or the Los Angeles, whatever they want to call themselves now, Angels. I know there's talk in L.A., Anaheim, that if they want to get any refurbishments done to the stadium, that they've got to change their name again.
Gosh.
And call themselves the Anaheim Angels and not the Los Angeles Angels. Otherwise, the city of Anaheim isn't going to pony up the money for them. Why don't you just go back to California?
California
Angels. That's still the best name they've ever had.
California Angels is good.
It's a good name.
I liked it, but they went and they had to go ruin it. And that's just what they do. I'll tell you what, this is...
And by the way, that's a good pitching matchup tomorrow night. If you're going out to the game, and I'm trying to go. We're trying to go. If you go out to the game, this one of those games, like, okay, got a good pitching matchup. It's DeGrom and Soriano. You know, two guys, ZRA is under 3.5. It's a good pitching matchup.
It's a good setup. Boy, how often is it that you get 2 off days in 4 days in Major League Baseball?
I would say it's almost unheard of because you can't.
Yeah. I mean,
the off days are usually Monday or Thursday. So unless you're doing a two-game series, you would never get two off days in 4 days.
Yeah, I'm trying to see here. They've had one, two.
I guess you could do a Thursday, Monday, like Thursday on the back end and Monday on the front end of the week.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, you'd never see that because they don't want to. They only get 20 of them a year. They don't want to waste them.
With the All-Star break worked in there, the Rangers are going to have 9 off days over the course of about 40 days, 41 days, something like that. That's a ton to have even around the All-Star break. 9 off days in 41 days?
That's a lot. Every 4 days?
That's ridiculous. Well, it's because of the 4-day All-Star break in there. So when they get up to But still, even with that means they've had in the last, starting like from today, within the last month, they've had 5 off days.
Yeah.
Which is a ton.
No excuse for your pitching then. Not to be on point.
Yeah. Everybody should be rested and ready to go.
Absolutely. So that's coming up tomorrow right here on The Fan. We mentioned we have a first-time All-Star.
Here comes Lance. And that's in there for a called third strike. Caught him looking at a fastball. The Rangers hold on and win the opener in this 4-game set, the final 6-5.
Hixie with the call. Jacob Latz is your Lone Ranger representative. Every Major League team has to have a rep, and Jacob Latz is that for the Texas Rangers. Making his first ever All-Star. This is cool. This is very, very cool. And I guess it looks like he's like an MLB pick.
Yeah, he was like one of the reserve picks.
So they have the fan vote, and then the players can vote a player in. Right? You get a player vote. Mm-hmm. And there's an MLB vote, and the MLB pick was Jacob Latz. And awesome for him. And obviously the team finds themselves in the thick of things. On the cusp of first place, though, you know, it's a second place team. They're tied with Seattle and for the White Sox among teams that are a game out of first place or less, or meaning it could be in first,
mm-hmm.
that just has one rep.
Yeah, this is a lone rep this year. Now, obviously there was
White Sox have one, Seattle has one.
There was a push there for a little while. People wanted Zeke Duran in there. Zeke hit a cold slump, and that probably kind of killed his chances a little bit. But there's a lot of people upset about Josh Jung not being in there. Josh Jung is eighth among third basemen in the American League in WAR. I think he's seventh in home runs. He was higher in OPS than I thought. It was home runs that he was lower on because he's only got 9 home runs this year. But I think he leads. If he doesn't lead the AL in doubles, he's like right near the top. So I mean, he's just been a big singles and doubles guy this year, but. Third leading batter in the American League isn't on there, and we're not even talking about it. But, I mean, gosh, he's the third leading batter, and I think Chop, his OPS is like 810, even as somebody who's the third leading batter in the American League, which is just nuts to think about.
He is tied for fifth in Major League Baseball in doubles, but tied for first in the American League with Ernie Clement, second baseman at Toronto. And Toronto did a good job of stacking the box anyway, the ballot box. I'll say this. I was a little disappointed because in a year where, this is what's happened this year. Aaron Judge voted in as a starter. He's going to miss the game with injury.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout voted in as a starter, currently on the injured list. He's hoping to play. Jose Ramirez is having his worst season, is also on the injured list with a hand. Cal Raleigh, batting average under 200. And it's disappointing that, you know, also, by the way, Vlad Jr., didn't you have the stat?
He has, yeah, I don't think he's homered in the last couple days. So he has not homered at Rogers Center since like August 18th, I think, of last year, which is insane.
It's insane.
If you've hit a home run at Rogers Center this year, anybody done it, which there's a lot of random nobodies who have done it, you've hit more home runs at Rogers Center than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has.
So, Vlad, Julio Rodriguez.
And yeah, he still has not hit one, even in recent days.
Gunner, Altuve, they're having years that are below their normal years.
Mm-hmm.
And you still only got one. You still only got one in. And guys we've seen around the sport, like Bobby Jr., and Nick Kurtz and McGonigal and Bazana and Schlittler and Messick,
These are all young players who have stepped up and made the squad. And a ton of young guys in the American League squad. To not see Wyatt take the leap is disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that should be in this group. Like, there's no reason that Wyatt Langford isn't mentioned with Bobby Jr. And, well, leave Bobby Jr. out of it, because I think he's on a different tier. But with Nick Kurtz and McGonigal and Pisana, I don't know. There's no reason why he's not mentioned with these guys.
And maybe we would be talking about him in those terms if he were healthy this year. Because he was playing like it. In June, he was playing like it. When he came back, he was
raking, man.
We mentioned this while you were out. He was – Wyatt Langford was, during that course, from when he got back on from the DL – or the IL, when he got back, that 20 days that he played, he was – the same batter or a little bit above all of Shohei Ohtani's splits at the plate.
Wow.
He was essentially Ohtani for that stretch, which, by the way, we figured this out. Do you know the longest stretch of games now in 3 years that Wyatt Langford has played?
61 games?
It's like 42.
Ugh.
Without missing a game. And then the next closest is like 31. I mean, he basically misses, if it's injury, rest, whatever else, he does not give you more than about – he's not crossed 50 games in a row yet in his career, which is just – that's a bad sign.
Ooh.
You said he'd be Trout.
I mean, and you know what? He is. He's as injured as Mike Trout.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's what it is. And you know what both have in common? They are both so muscly.
Yeah, they are bricks, dude.
They're so finely tuned – that they just, I mean, maybe there is something to it. Maybe you can be too in shape. I don't know.
Yeah. Can I give you something on Lats again real quick?
Please. I mean, he deserves all the praise.
So Jacob Lats, I don't know about you. Have you yet gone on his Savant page and just been like, what is this? Like, why is he so dominant? Is there anything that, like, shows up that goes, oh, he's doing this different or whatever else?
To me, it's that he is a closer with starter stuff. He's a starter repertoire. That's pitching one inning.
That's what Corey Majors was saying.
As a starter, you have to hold your pitches. You can't. When John Smoltz does a game, he's like, you know what? This guy's not going to make it past the fifth inning because he has shown every single one of his pitches in the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're only facing a team one time through the order, you could do that. And he's only facing three hitters, and obviously at a minimum. So he could get away with using all of his repertoire and not having to worry about a second and third at bat.
So I was looking at some of his pitches and like how he was, what he was having effectiveness with and things like that. So the only thing that's a little different, and it's not substantially different, but every year he has increased his curveball usage, which the curveball's been good for him. I don't think I realized how good the curveball's been for him this year. So throughout his career, from 2023 up through now, these are his curveball percentages, 4.2, 5, 6.4. He's thrown at 8.5% this year. So he's ticking it up a little bit every year. So far this year, batters are 0-13 against his curveball, and it's been responsible for 9 strikeouts.
Good.
Like you're talking about, he has, and every year his curveball's generally been effective. It's just he hasn't mixed it in as much as he is this year, and he's been getting a ton of really, like it's becoming somewhat of an outpitch for him. And when you look at the way he's thrown it in previous years, in the past, he had, because when you throw the curveball, obviously it's, well, for it to be registered as an at-bat, it's got to be, it can't just be you threw it in the at-bat. It has to be, it was the batted ball that got out or a hit or a wall. It was like the fourth ball or the third strike. That's how it counts as one of your at-bats when the ball's registered like that. So he had gotten, so far to this point, he had only thrown 11 curveballs through the first 3 years that were registered as like, that's how the at-bat ended, was on the curveball. This year he's had 14 at bats end with the curveball. So he's like surpassed that. He's using it more as like an out pitch to get guys out. And like I said, 9 strikeouts this year on the curveball, when in the past few years before that, he had 2 strikeouts the previous 3 years on his curveball. So that curve's become more of an out pitch for him.
It's working good for him. Diamond
Cavs here on the Fan.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a list that RJ Choppy isn't a fan of, and we need your thoughts. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Who are the top athletes to ever come out of the state of Texas? That's next on the Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.